Good morning. It's good to have you with us, and we're glad that you've joined us today to study the Bible together for just a few minutes. It's always a joy, an honor, and a privilege to be able to open the Bible and to study it together, and we're glad that you're with us today. We hope that you have your Bible ready. We're going to be looking again at Luke chapter 8, so let me invite and encourage you right now to open your Bible to Luke chapter 8, and we're going to be looking down today at verse 37 in particular, but before we get there, let me say a few words about what we talked about yesterday so that we can get this in our minds, because in order to appreciate what we're about to read in the passage that I just mentioned, it's good for us to realize what the background is here. You know, too many times we jump into Bible study and we don't look at the context, or we don't review what the context is, and that's very important. So let's summarize a few things about what has taken place here in Luke chapter 8. Now, the story that we looked at yesterday was Jesus casting out demons of a man that called himself Legion. And he called himself Legion because he said that there were many devils that had entered into him. So there was not just one demon that possessed this man, but there were many. Well, the Bible says that Jesus cast the demons out of this man, and he caused those demons to go into a herd of swine. Now, the Bible tells us that this herd of swine was large, so you're not looking at maybe 20 or 30 hogs in this herd. In the book of Matthew, as Matthew records this, he tells us that there were about 2,000 in that herd. So this is a big scene. This is something that gets a lot of people's attention, because the Bible says that he caused these demons to go out of the man. He cast these demons out of the man named Legion, and they went into the swine. And we read about that in verse 33. The Bible says, "Then went the devils out of the man and entered into the swine, and the herd ran violently down a steep place into the lake and were choked." Now, if you saw about 10 or 20 hogs running down a steep place into a body of water, whether it's a pond or a lake or whatever it is, and saw them drown, then you would say something is bad wrong here. For all of them to rush into the same place and to drown like that, something is going on here that at the very least is peculiar. But if you were to see 2,000 of them do that, then that would certainly arrest your attention. And the Bible tells us that there were workers there. There were people that were feeding those hogs in verse 34. "When they that fed them saw what was done, they fled and went and told it in the city and in the country." So they went through the land and told everybody what had happened. Well, the people believed them evidently, because the Bible says in verse 35, "Then they went out to see what was done and came to Jesus and found the man," that is Legion, "out of whom the devils were departed, sitting at the feet of Jesus, clothed and in his right mind, and they were afraid. They also which saw it told them by what means he that was possessed of the devils was healed." So the workers that were there knew that Jesus was responsible for this. And they told these people in the city and throughout the country that this man Jesus was the one that cast the demons out of him. So there was no question about what took place. There was no doubt about what had happened. They realized that this man has been cured. Now, they've not been able to deal with this man. They have not been able to do anything with this man named Legion. They tried to put chains and shackles on him, but they couldn't control him. And they certainly couldn't cure him. There was nobody that could exorcise these demons or cast out these demons. We don't even know if anybody ever tried. But they were not able to cure this man. And all of a sudden, this Jesus of Nazareth comes, and he not only casts the demons out of the man, it's obvious that he's in his right mind. Because before this, you see, the Bible says that he wouldn't wear any clothes, and the Bible says that you couldn't even bind him with chains and shackles. He had this superhuman strength. They could tell that the man was cured because he was in his right mind, and he could speak just like a normal person. So you not only have the fact that Jesus has healed this man, but he has done that in a spectacular way, because you have the man being healed, but you have all of these pigs or hogs being killed on this occasion because the demons entered into them. Now, here's what I want to ask you about, and here's what I want to talk to you about this morning. What would you think the response of those people would be? How would you expect them to react to this? They know that a miracle has taken place. There's no question about that. They see the great change, and they know that there is supernatural power at work here. So how would you expect them to treat Jesus? Would you expect them to invite Jesus into their homes or into their community? Would you think that they would say to him, "We want you to stay here with us. Don't leave, stay here with us." Wouldn't you think that these miracles and the fear that they felt would cause them to want to hear about Jesus, about who he is? And wouldn't you think that they would want to hear his teaching and his preaching? Wouldn't you think this would get their attention and cause them to have an open mind and an open heart? Well, what we find in verse 37 is that that is not what took place, folks. The Bible says in verse 37 of Luke chapter 8, "Then the whole multitude of the country of the Gadarenes round about besought him to depart from them." So they asked Jesus to leave. This is one of the sad verses in the New Testament, one of many, but here's a case where some people ask Jesus to leave. They don't want him to be there. The Bible says that the reason for it is because they were taken with great fear, and so he went up again into the ship and returned back again. What a sad situation that was. These people ought to have been glad. They should have been happy, and they should have welcomed him, but they didn't. Somebody says, well, they were so afraid, though, that they didn't want to get close to him. Well, you know what, folks? Just because a person is afraid doesn't mean that he has to run away from or turn the Lord down. You see, back in the Old Testament, we find several times where people were afraid of the Lord. That didn't mean that they just disobeyed him and didn't want anything to do with him. You remember the scene of Moses before the burning bush in Exodus chapter 3? Well, that was an awesome sight for Moses. That was a sight that got Moses' attention. He realized that the presence of God was right there before him. And so although Moses felt afraid on that occasion, he didn't run away and refuse to have anything to do with God. He didn't use that as an excuse to say, "I don't want to ever have anything to do with you, so just depart from me." No, that's not a reason, folks. As a matter of fact, the very fact that people are afraid of something that they have seen like this ought to motivate them to want to know more about Jesus Christ and his word. It ought to be a reason, not an excuse. It ought to motivate them to say, "Lord, speak. We want to know more. We'd like to see more out of you." So it's not something that we ought to look at and just excuse these people and say, well, we can understand because, after all, they had seen something that was just out of the ordinary here, and so they're afraid and they don't want anything to do with Jesus. No, there were other people in the Bible that felt fear in the presence of God, and yet they wanted to know more about him. So we can say this about these people. They did know that a miracle had taken place, and evidently, they did believe it. Now, I'm not saying that they believed it in the proper sense of the term believe, because when you talk about saving faith or saving belief in the Bible, that means a person also obeys. He just doesn't believe it in his mind. He obeys it in his life. And so we have a passage like James 2, where the Bible says, "You believe that there is one God, you do well. The devils also believe and tremble." James 2, verse 19. So it is possible for a person to see a miracle in the New Testament now. He sees a miracle. He knows a miracle has taken place. He believes that miracle, perhaps, is from the power of God, but he refuses to become a follower of Jesus Christ. As a matter of fact, that happened many times in the Bible. When you look at how people responded to Jesus, how they responded to what he did, whether it was feeding the multitude or raising the dead or healing the sick or casting out demons, and when you look at how people responded to what Jesus taught, you're going to find that people were mixed in their reactions. There were some people that obeyed Jesus. There were some people that disobeyed. There were some people that saw the miracles of Jesus, and they said that he must be a prophet of God. He must at least be a prophet of God, and he could even be the Messiah, and so we're going to find out more. On the other hand, you find that there were people that believed in, or at least profited from, Jesus' miracles for a while, and yet eventually they stopped following Jesus, and they refused to have anything to do with him from that point on. In John chapter 6, Jesus miraculously fed a multitude of people. Jesus fed thousands of people in John chapter 6, and the people followed him. As a matter of fact, they followed him across the sea, came to where he was, and heard him preach. And on that occasion, the Bible says that Jesus said some things that they didn't like. He said some things that they didn't agree with. And as a result, from that time, many of his disciples went back and walked no more with him. So there's one group of people as well. Some people that saw his miracles followed him for a while, and then they stopped. On the other hand, you've got people like the Pharisees in Matthew chapter 12 that saw a miracle of Jesus Christ, and they didn't have the brazenness to say, we don't believe that that was really a miracle, because they would have looked foolish in front of the people. If they had said, well, we really don't believe that he cast a demon out here, then they would have been laughed at, so they wouldn't do that. But on the other hand, they did not want to accept Jesus because Jesus' teaching went against what they were doing. So what did they do? Well, in Matthew chapter 12, they said he's performed a miracle here, but he did it by the power of the devil. And Jesus showed that that was absolutely absurd. That was ridiculous. Satan is not going to cast out his own demons or his own messengers or servants. He wants them to be in people. He wants them to control and possess people. But that's just another example of how people responded. Now, this group that we've got right here in Luke chapter 8 responded even differently. They knew that a miracle had taken place. They believed, to some extent, at least in their mind, because they are afraid. And the Bible says they are greatly afraid. But instead of letting that fear move them to the point of believing in the sense of obedience, they just didn't want anything to do with Jesus Christ after that point. So there are people today who have not seen a miracle, but they see nature. And they know enough about the Bible to believe it to some extent. To a point, they believe it. And they are afraid. They are afraid of dying. They are afraid of the judgment. Like the Bible says, even some Christians who have gone away from the faith and have turned their back on God have a lingering fear of the judgment. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 27 tells us that. And so it's sad today that you have people just like these people in the region of the Gadarenes who have a fear of eternity. They have a fear of God, in a sense, but it's not a godly fear. You see, these people were taken with great fear, but that's not the godly fear that's mentioned in Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 28. And folks, what I want to say as we end this broadcast is that if you are in that category, if you fear dying, if you fear God, you fear the judgment, but you have not done what you need to do to take care of your life, then these words are for you. In Mark 16, verse 16, Jesus said, "He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned." Well, thank you so much for listening today. I've enjoyed studying with you. And we hope that you have a great rest of the day.